You've heard the word of the Lord from Paul's letter to Philemon. Let's take our prayer today from another captivity letter, probably written about the same time at the end of the book of Acts. This from Ephesians 3. We pray. Lord, we kneel before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the entire family in heaven and on earth receives its name. According to the riches of your glory, Lord, strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner self, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Then, being rooted and grounded in love, Lord, grant that we may be able to comprehend, along with all the saints, how wide and long and high and deep is your love, and that we may be able to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and so be filled to all the fullness of God. Amen. In the name of Him who has freed us from the chains of sin, dear fellow slaves of righteousness, have you ever had to make a decision based on cost analysis? Before you all get bleary-eyed, if the teenagers here are anything like my grandchildren, you do cost analysis. What are you saving your money for? Grandpa, it's that video game. Oh, yeah. Okay. Is it worth it? Now, think about it. If that particular technology does not match your gaming system, does it really matter if it was so exciting years ago? I mean, I could tell you about video games. Oh, Grandpa. Yeah. Doesn't matter, does it? So it's not worth the cost unless it works. But it's also possible that things can work too well. Probably was not worth it on my first car to spend extra money on that exhaust system. A few weeks later, changing the oil, I'm underneath looking up. I don't see the underside of the car, I see the bottom side of the carpet. That old rust bucket actually just needed some new sheet metal screwed into what metal was left. You know, to keep your feet dry in the rain? Yeah, and a little better cost analysis there probably would have helped. They told us in driver's training, you see a rock in the mountains, straddle it. That one was just about half an inch too high. Rolled the full length of my premium exhaust system, bent the flywheel, punctured the oil pan. The semi-driver, coming over the mountains from the other way, saw smoke, runs to our car with his fire extinguisher out, thought we were going to burn. A little too much excitement for my young bride and me expecting our first child. Don't ever try to sell a cancer car out west, by the way. You will have to do some cost analysis and just junk it. And Jesus tells us today, you Christians, get to it. This is hard truth on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It's hard truth, but count the cost. But it's cool. Because he also tells us to anticipate spectacular blessings. So count the cost. This little letter to Philemon, I don't know how many of you read it. It'd probably take you like 6 or 7 minutes. Read slow. Take 8 minutes. But you know what? The Bible critics don't think Paul was up to the task on this. Nope, this is wholly inadequate. You know why? Paul did not speak out strongly enough against slavery. There you go. Criticize the holy writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because, oh, we know better. Yeah. Yeah. One of our professors said it so well. Paul is not writing a letter to end slavery. He's not writing a letter to save slaves. He wants to save hearts. So in order to save hearts, he goes to work and says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, writing to Timothy, young pastor probably still at this time. It's to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker. You've received great joy and encouragement, I have, from your love. You have refreshed the hearts of the saints. We have to translate hearts because if we translated literally here and said guts, wouldn't sound good. But the ancient Greeks knew very well that your thoughts and feelings really come more from down below your diaphragm. The spleen is named after the splunkna, the guts. So from deep down in here, they're just discovering again, there are more neurotransmitters in your stomach than there are in your brain. Okay. You've refreshed the deep insides of your brothers and sisters in Christ, Philemon. And this is all about refreshment in Count the Cost. In order to help people count the cost, there's got to be something here so much more important than what's in the news today about slavery and the history of America's and all that. It's a lot of people don't realize that, as according to the historians, there were more, or at least maybe half the empire of Rome was slaves. Did you know that? But they could own property, get an education, a lot more rights then. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed Anglo slaves were sold in Roman slave markets. It's true. With all the rights that they had, they were still under the legal control of their master. But it was just part of the world in which they lived, and the Lord, in His mercy, goes counterculture again. I think kind of in the face of smarter people today, because He knows that there are issues. There's always issues, and it's more complicated than the simplistic people like to put it. Count the cost, because there's a slavery that's far worse. And it's a slavery of sin. And we're all born in slaves there. Because we can't help ourselves. Original sin, it's called the sin of origin. Not the first sin, but it's just a fact. It's birth defect we pass on from one generation to the next. And we are slaves to that sin. Making an evangelism call years ago with an evangelism director, there was a woman who knew better, but she was just wanting to argue about original sin. We're standing in the entry to her house looking into her kitchen. Little Nicholas is about 2 years old, and she's you prove to me original sin. I don't want to be, disrespectful, but did you teach Nicholas how to dump your refrigerator like that? He keeps going over there and emptying it out on the kitchen floor, and she dutifully goes and puts it back. Does not correct him. Do you need any more proof than that? Do I need more proof in my life because always the ruts go over into that sin and the Lord pulls me back there? We have to have a book by Deutschlander about the narrow Lutheran middle because there are ditches on both sides of this. We got to stay here in repentance with the Lord. There was slavery all over the ancient world. But you know what? Back then, those slave babies were allowed to survive. They were not murdered in their mother's womb. They were allowed to survive. And not like slavery in America today. Sex trafficking. And children. To end poverty? Abortion? You kidding? And genocide of the minority groups? Read their writings. It's conscious. It's intentional. And you're the problem because you choose life? Do you know that Africans were kidnapping Africans to sell to Europeans to take to America? Do you know that Europeans in America used American Indians to hunt down runaway slaves to take back to their masters? Do you know that American Indians with their captives would sell them to the Europeans to take back to the old country to sell the slaves again? Yeah, God condemns slavery. Slave trade. That he speaks out against, slave traders. And he condemns murder. And he does not discriminate. He calls us all to repentance. Can you count the cost of crucifying your sinful nature day by day by day? In this little letter, we have actually three individuals who are counting the cost because they know what it means to be disciples. Of course, you have Paul, and I just throw it out there like, of course. But if you know what it was like in his former life, oh no, this is a major miracle. He was Saul of Tarsus, right? An up-and-coming Pharisee back in Jerusalem. Well on his way to becoming rich and famous. Until that day when Jesus appeared to him and showed Saul of Tarsus. No, Jesus, actually am alive. Crucified, yes. Risen now. And you will be my missionary to all those non-Jews, those Gentiles. Saul became Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, and just amazed at God's grace the rest of his life. If you and I understand where we're coming from in the slavery of sin, we can be amazed too at his grace. Every morning, mercies new rise as fresh as morning dew. Every morning, let us pay tribute with the early day, for your mercies, Lord, are sure. Your compassion doth endure. So I have to tell you, I'm amazed at this apostle who's always going and going and going and doing and doing and doing. Here in chains, a prisoner of Jesus Christ in chains for the gospel. And he's at peace, patient, kind, loving, tactful. Often talked about that one time I was in the hospital overnight with back surgery, just one night, and kept wondering, where did this word patient come from? You know? Great lesson in reality, isn't it? If you have to call on people in the hospital maybe to know what it's like to be lying there and not able to do what you want to do. But Paul, look at him. Listen to him. He's busy. Because that slave Onesimus turns out to be the exact opposite of Paul. Paul gives up his freedom for the sake of the gospel because he wants everybody in the world to know that Jesus is their Savior too, even the Savior of slaves. Onesimus, he ran away from his responsibilities. Sounds like he actually stole from his master to finance his trip. And somehow, again, Holy Spirit working, somehow Onesimus ends up with this prisoner Paul in Rome. Go figure. What does Paul do? Woe is me. Life is hard. I'd like to be out there doing the Lord's work, if only, blah, blah, blah. No. No wasted words. He tells Onesimus about the Savior of all who set Paul free from his slavery of angry anti-Christianity, angry God hatred, set him free. Onesimus, this is for you too, to be set free from the slavery of sin, to serve the Lord of righteousness. Now, count the cost. Count the cost. Can you possibly give up your freedom and your life to go back? Think about it. It's possible that Onesimus actually carried this letter. Can you see against the backdrop of our Christian faith that conquers all in Christ? Can you see how different the attitude of Christians has been, that were practicing their faith and listening, as the Lord said through Moses to the Israelites? Listen. It's there. Early Christians read their writings. How can we say all men are created equal and then keep some in this brutality of slavery in America? How could they do it? They said it. They lived it. Long before the Civil War, there was a Lutheran congregation in South Carolina, in Charleston, that invited slaves to worship with them. Amazing, huh? Look at the early pictures of the schools in the Missouri Synod. That was about the 1850s, before the Civil War. You will see colored faces among the little white girls, too, in school. Because God's people cannot stand to think that a single soul redeemed by the blood of Christ would ever be lost to the freedom that we have in Jesus. Bring them all. Our African brothers and sisters too. Everyone. God included us. That's what they did. Did you ever hear about the time that John Adams, of all people, from Boston, second president of the United States, he actually accepted the gift of a slave? It's true. You know what he and Abigail did then? Freed the slave. That's what they did. Why refuse the gift? That slave will stay in slavery then. Accept the gift. Free the slave. Count the cost. Philemon. Master. With legal right to kill your slave if he comes back, if you can get hold of him. If he stole from you, doubly so. But you see, Philemon had also heard about Jesus Christ, the Savior of all, who sets us free from anger and resentment and vengeance. We don't know a whole lot about Philemon, but according to some subsequent history, he apparently became the bishop of Colossae and then was martyred by Roman Emperor Nero, the same one, as far as we know, who killed both Paul and Peter on the same day. Huh. You think Philemon was counting the cost? You know what those early martyrs were shouting with the suffering they went through? Same thing Paul said when he became a believer in Jesus. I count everything a loss compared to the riches of knowing by experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, to know him who set us free. So whether in chains or out proclaiming the gospel in the world, all there was Jesus. Because when you count the cost, Jesus is the spectacular, spectacular gain. Nothing compares to that. Oh, I'm appealing on behalf of Onesimus. You know, he used to be useless to you. Now he'll be useful. Onesimus means useful. Play on words there. I'm sending him back. He's my very heart. He's my guts. He's my splunkna. He just keeps us up. I'm in chains for the gospel. I could tell you to do this. I could order you. But I won't. I wanted to come willingly. Not because you had to. I'm asking for a favor, though. I surely am. It's okay. Paul, Onesimus, Philemon, all counting the cost and looking for spectacular gains. If you consider me to be a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. That's like put it on my bill. Pastor Professor Martin Luther had a great comment about this. He says, What Paul does for Onesimus by, you know, sending him back to freedom is what Christ has done for all of us, if we believe. For all of us are Onesimi, if we believe. He sends him back. We stole from God. We steal from God every day. Every time things go well in my life, do you do this too? Your arm gets sore because you're patting yourself on the back. God willing, in mercy, he doesn't let it go that far because he disciplines us before we get, you know, too far off in the ditch. But it is perverted. It is most grievous to steal glory from God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Oh yeah, here we are again. We steal from God, glory and honor. What has your heart? What's the most important thing for you? Do you also need to tell yourself, today is the Lord's day? Nothing else matters than to be with the Lord in his word. If I can't be there, I'll listen online. But if I can be there with my fellow Christians, I got to be there. Nothing else is more important. You know, pastors have to tell themselves that too. Yeah? Yeah. It's not about this afternoon or this evening or this week. It's about now. Lord, I want the one thing needful to be the joy of my heart. Because there's nothing better than knowing that Jesus has freed me from my sins with his holy precious blood, and to be able to tell other sinners too, look at this freedom. Celebrate it. These amazing blessings that we have in Christ. This have-to attitude, this guilt, the shame, the slavery, the chains, anxiety, all healed in the blood of Christ. What do you need? You just need more word and sacrament. And here we are. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Put it on my bill. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention, don't you love it when they say that? I'm not going to talk about this. Now I will. Not to mention, you owe me your very self. You're my child in faith too, Philemon. Onesimus likewise, take him back. Yes, brother, I'm asking a favor from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart. See, you lost him as a slave, and now you can have him back as something far surpassing that, as a brother in the faith. How differently we treat people. If only we can see them as souls redeemed by the blood of Christ. And that would be especially the enemies of life who hate your guts, hate you Christians. They have other choices. They have other things. They're hell-bent for leather. But you know what they need. Because no amount of getting the earthly things of this world or their riches of any kind or their power will ever grant peace. And you have that in Christ. Awesome blessings. Wonderful tact here, too, of a brother under difficult circumstances in the prison to be able to be so tactful in Christ. Take him back as a brother. So much better than a slave. Refresh my heart. Deep down in my guts. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Does that sound familiar? You'll do even more than I ask? There are books written about this, how, you know, pastors could try so hard and tell the people this. There's one who just stepped back and learned to preach the gospel instead. And he said, all of a sudden, it's a whole new congregation. I don't have to tell them what to do anymore. It's true. The gospel has that power. When Jill was still in the office, she liked to tell me, "Pastor, you don't have half of what's going on around here." I don't need to. We're free. Free to serve the Lord. Free to proclaim the gospel. Free to celebrate the fact that, we count the cost. Especially for Jesus. But this discipleship, such rich blessings in peace and joy and gladness, far beyond what we can ask or imagine. There's one place where Luther liked to say that before the law got there, the gospel had already done the work. It's so true. So true. Can you preach that sermon to your heart when it takes a little convincing, back when we get out into the real world? Back when you have people telling you you're evil? Maybe we should just say, that's true by nature. But guess what? I am baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we will remember that every time we worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I will preach to my soul as the psalmist does in Psalm 116. It's just loaded. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I am your servant. You have freed me from my chains. Or as the hymn writer said it so beautifully, be still my soul, be still my soul. The Lord is on your side. Set free in Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And your life is allowed. Amen. Amen. Please rise.